So we're encouraging as many of you as you can to get into either a series fasting a few days on, a few days off, one on, one off, or the longer kind if you so choose. Either way, whatever you discover that's in your flesh from fasting, it was there before you started. The fast didn't bring it. It exposed it. And it's putting it to death. So just remember, you don't crawl up into an attic and turn the light on and stand back in amazement and go, "My God, look at all the dirt this light brought." The dirt was already there. All the light did was expose it. Do you think fasting is going to bring something to you that you didn't have before? What it's going to do is expose what already exists. And I can remember on my first longer fast, I wanted a couple of angels would have been good on Jesus' arms. You know, here I am fasting. Been in there a long time. It'd be nice for him just to walk into my room. A couple of angels on his arm. "David, yes, I knew you were coming. I've been without eating for a long time." "David, yes, I want to give you mighty heavenly things." I know. After all, I am sacrificing and suffering through this fast. After all, I'm moving heaven. How many other people do what I'm doing? "Yes, what is it you want to give me? You want to say something? Go ahead, I'm ready. I've been expecting you." "Yes, I would like to give you tremendous gifts from heaven. No disease shall stand in your presence. Nations will come and sit at your feet. I shall bless you beyond your mildest imaginations." "Yes, yes. I know what you said in the Word. Just glorify me a while. What are you going to do with me?" Did Jesus come? Oh yeah, He came all right. He got in my midst, and His glory lit darkness up, and I hated me. The trouble with those longer fasts, you make a whole lot of noise about wanting to lock yourself up in some little old room. "If I just didn't have this job bothering me. If I didn't just have this wrong and that wrong, I'd lock myself up in this little old room and just fast." Well, that is a real, real strong kind of fasting, because you're fasting your senses from communication other than anybody but God. You're just standing there. All your senses are glorifying Him, are subjected to the Word. You're fasting your body from its substance, which is food, so it has no choice but to just lay there and glorify God. You're fasting your emotions, you're fasting everything. I mean, there isn't anything. You're fasting yourself from taking any other kind of knowledge. You're fasting your spirit from doing anything but praying in tongues. I mean, being locked up like that is a highest realm, because every part of you has chose to subject itself to nothing but God. You see, I thought all my problems would be over when those guys would come through working miracles and I was working at the mill. I even tried to pay a guy. I said, "Look, if you will just pay my bills, why, I go on this 40-day fast. At the end of it, I'll have such a great ministry that everybody will want me and I'll be able to pay you back." And I tried to get this guy to carry my bills, to pay him to do it. If he would just carry it for the length of the fast. He says, "No, I couldn't even get him to do it." Well, finally, when I did go full time and did try my first fast, You should have heard all the noise I made to Rosalie. I'm going to roll fast, and I'm going to go just like A.E. Allen did. I'm going to lock myself up until a light appears in the room. I made that speech so many times and failed that she finally would just laugh when I'd come up and say it. Yeah, right. And she was right. And the one time I did make it on the first longer fast, and this is after I'd been full time, 10 or 12 years. I promised her, she was going overseas, and I promised her that I wouldn't break it without an agreement from her. Boy, after about 3 or 4 or 5 days, I realized she was getting ready to leave and I would have nothing to look forward to but not eating. Poor me, I mean, here in this house and no food, no nothing. So I decided to follow her to the airport and I begged her all the way, please, when you get back, I'll fast. She said, nope, please, I've got to help watch one of the kids, please. Or something, I don't remember exactly, please, let me off of this. Would you let me in? Nope. I said, you need to be here when I fast. I begged her and begged her right till she got on the plane. Only time I didn't beg her is in front of her friends. She said, nope. And then I thought, whenever I talk to her on the phone, I'll just make her feel real sorry for me and she'll give me permission not to. Then we was out of contact for a while, so I was unable to talk to her. And day after day, my belly played chopsticks, my belly button with my backbone. It was horrible. I was laying there and every emotion you could think of was going crazy. And I had just been through an encounter with the strong man and he was reducing me to something I didn't like. And all of that was caving in on me and I was trying to, I couldn't get through to her and my mind was going crazy and I hadn't been able to pray or nothing for a long time. And so all I did, just laid on the bed. Absolute agony. Whenever my mind was in neutral, it felt like it wanted to go crazy. And so all I did is just lay there on the bed mostly and watch the television. And the only thing I would not do is eat. I just watched it. Couldn't get a hold of Rosalie. By the time that I made contact with her, I was over the worst. In fact, something like 20 or so days into it, one morning I woke up and the desire to lay there and stare at that stupid thing was gone. And an old familiar desire from the earlier days was back. That was to get back in. I had a desire to go back into prayer. And I did. And I got back into prayer. And even when Rosalie came back and I went out on the road even before I finished the fasting, I continued it and preached. And so I got past whatever was keeping me from going on. Well, I hadn't broke that, but within 6 months, I went on another one. I did another one. And I met more of myself. And then within a year, I did half of a long one. And the reason it was only half, because he came out. God came and visited me in it and started surrounding me with the peace that I've been preaching on for several years, putting the pieces together to get to a place where I could understand what He had given me. It was an unusual feeling to have His peace. It seemed like some kind of state you existed in. It's been challenged a few times, but it has stayed pretty predominantly. Well, people say fasting doesn't do you any good if you're not praying and fasting with it. I mean praying and locking up or reading the Word with it. But I can tell you, if you have a new nature, then fasting is going to do you some good. Well, you know, if I don't put myself aside, then all you've accomplished is not eating. Not so. When my senses was fighting me so hard, all I could do was just lay there And months before that, when I went back to my room and I was under torment, the only relief I would have is not to look at my Bible and not to pray, just to stare at the television. And I'd been doing that for months before that fast. But now I did the same thing for the first half of it. And eventually, the new nature was able to overcome my flesh enough where I got my old desires back. Wasn't afraid anymore. The war was won. He couldn't keep me out of the closet anymore. So anybody tell you this doesn't do any good to fast those few days? If you can get aside and pray, that is the best. But that's the best anyway. Praying anytime and worship Him and seeking Him anytime. Of course it's the best. But not to fast because I didn't have time to pray while I was fasting, I would not do that. Because fasting, it deals with your flesh in a very, very unusual way. Very unusual way. And when Jesus taught on it, we missed what He was saying about the old wineskin and the new wineskin. He said exactly the same thing that I'm saying. Fasting has something to do with your flesh. And when you practice it, that this thing it has to do with your flesh will begin to happen. Now, sometimes fasting will cause things to come to the forefront that are deep resident things in you. But remember, they were already there and they were helping put a ceiling over your life. That if you didn't destroy them somehow, you could spend your whole life wandering around under that ceiling. Now, I remember a couple in times past that she was always the spiritual one and he was always the carnal one. And when he would act up being the carnal one, everybody would hail her as the absolute spiritual one. Well, when the seasons of times passed, we had the privilege of teaching them for a while. Well, he caught on. Pretty soon he got on and he was the big deal. You know, we can't believe. And then he uncovered some things in his life that had been sealing in him and making him the way he was his whole life. Well, when he started falling to that, then she enters in and starts fasting, and it took a few fasts and she uncovered some real ugly things. I mean, real ugly things. And I'm thinking, God, I don't understand this. You know, he became the good big deal. She stepped back into the shadows and became nothing. But when they were at other places, he was the big deal because he had a lot of money. And she was the poor little one being abused by him. Well, she was always abused and everybody kept saying, "You poor little thing, you poor little thing." And that's where she derived, you know, she pulled on that and lived on that. Well, suddenly he's spiritual and she's got nothing to live on. And boy, when she uncovered that, boy, I tell you, we were dirty dog low. It was all our fault now, because you couldn't blame him anymore. I just could not hardly believe. Well, see, fasting doesn't give you those things. It corners them. It traps them and pushes them out to the forefront, where even you can see that pressure and those actions that you have. And some of the first fasts, you know, first years of fasting, Rosalie would say, "You're going to fast?" And I'd say, "Yes." She said, "Well, can you go somewhere and do it?" You know, when things that need to be out of your life are tormenting you, everything bothers you. Oh, you think I'm wrong, do you? I am the head of this house. You know. That old stronghold just glorying in it, you know. Everybody else can see you just became the fool. And you yourself will start seeing it after a while. Has anybody ever run into any of those things? No, no, not us. I'm bad. No, no. Well, you might as well expose them. You might as well get them out. You know, you could, several ways you get rid of them from the Word and sin and worship, but fasting plays a real strong part as far as your flesh is concerned. So in Romans 8, let's just look at the positional truth of this as we're talking about fasting for a while. Say, well, I'm afraid to go on a fast. This is the very reason people generally start talking fasting down. Because everybody can tell you about someone who went on a long one and got weird. Boy, and they got a right to say that, because their actions sometimes do become real peculiar. But that's just a sign. That's just a sign that you're not done yet. And so because of people like that, people have come to the forefront and taught and said things like, well, I don't really believe in longer fasts. It just depends how hungry you are. I believe in them. And somebody said, Brother Hagin teaches against them. No, he doesn't. He just said, there's never been anything that I not received that I was asking God for, that it took me over 3 days to receive it. Boy, I sure wished I was walking there. Boy, do I wish I was walking there. Well, see, it was hard for me to understand fasting. Because the old timers, the camp I came out of, which was ultra, ultra holiness, you know, they taught fasting as a way to move God. And so then I find out, you know, that He's not the one stuck. So fasting's not moving Him. In fact, you know, preachers are not really known generally for their fasting. But for years I thought, just like they taught me, that fasting moved God. Then I found out He's not the one stuck. All that He's going to do, He's already done. So that I did know that somehow fasting moved me, but I didn't understand how. Well, when I finally understood how, then I found out that series fasting, that is 1 and 2 days, a day on and a day off. You know, however you want to fast, you keep it up long enough, then your flesh is going to come under the position that's been declared to it when you were born again. And whether it's series fasting, whether it's longer fastings, if you keep it up, eventually the position that's been provided for your body is going to be executed. And when it's finally executed, you're going to get the same results, whether it's from series fasting or whether it's from longer. You're going to get the same results. I have good news for you. You work a hard job, you're going to get the same results by one day on, one off, two on, two off, three on, four off. Whatever you're doing, you're going to get the same results, because it's not God you're moving. You're lining yourself up by executing the position your flesh has been declared when you were born again. And when you execute that position, eventually, as it is executed, then you are going to get the result that fasting brings. You're going to get free. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't mind telling you I'm excited. Well, I can't work very hard and fast, I don't think. I worked with a guy named Bernard, and he was a little guy when he started the fast, about 145 to 50 pounds. His job at the mill was loading train cars with lumber. And so he'd come out and you'd pull the board back and put one in on a pivot, pivot it over into the car, hold the weight of the end and pick it in and drop it. And that's how they loaded these special cars in those days. So here he is. You know, he's on a 30-day fast. He's just drinking water. He's not taking anything, juice or anything with it. He's just drinking water. So, boy, you talk about feeling like a sheep eating dog. I was working over there, you know, by him, and I'd been trying to fast at times, and 3 days was my forte. This guy loads trains and knocks off a 30-day fast and never missed a day of work, and only weighed 145 when he started. When he was done, I called him Joe Skeleton. His mouth wouldn't hardly close over his teeth. You could see his skull under his skin. I mean, the guys that worked there started having compassion. He'd just be... And those guys would just move him aside and say, just go right over that corner. They would take his and work twice as fast to help him out at times, to show compassion. And this guy, you know, he belonged to a church that was very highly legalistic. Only people I ever seen break free from it was people who didn't get very far into it. The most legalistic holiness church, they would not let their women wear jewelry. So you couldn't wear rings, you couldn't wear anything like that. And the Old Testament talks about a woman dressing in man's apparel, those kinds of things. Of course, the New Testament grace just talked about your adorning, let it be with. Emphasis on the inner man. They don't care if you put some gold on. Gold to do, I mean, none of that stuff is relevant to God. It's how you adorn the inner man. But they wouldn't let you wear. And the poor women, so when they're so starved to look feminine, they were so starved. If they weren't allowed, but if it had a practical use. So they got where they would hang little time pieces on chains so they could wear it around their neck. I said, your ear wouldn't be, you know, an earring from a little watch because they know you can't. I had to be able to convince the elders that it wasn't anything from a Jezebel spirit. I mean, we're not talking about women with earrings these days. We're talking about men, you know. Anyway, this church had the diest hard doctrine of any church I ever was involved with. And that's how I met him at the mill. I came to this little church that he took to pastor. He was the pastor. And this church, you know, the Bride of Christ carried the name of this church only. And I said, how about the Assembly God and all of those four square? And they said, they're just guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb. I said, who's the bride? And they said, we are. And when you get saved and join the church, you raise your right hand. And they rewrote an oath, I swear allegiance to the great church of God. And this isn't the church of God I'm talking about. You know, this was in their allegiance. One church under God. Just one. And you took that vow, you become part of the bride. You couldn't be married twice under any circumstances. If you were married to somebody in the past as a sinner and got divorced and married again and then got divorced and married again and then got divorced and married again, this is their definition of if it be for fornication. That the husband you have now that you got born again is not the one you married as a teenager. Therefore, you are committing fornication with the husband of now, because in God's eyes, you're supposed to remain unmarried or go back to that one you married as a teenager who's been married 8 times himself and settled down with somebody else. So they call that the just cause for divorcing him to go back to the other one. So she said, lest it be for fornication. Their definition of fornication was you're in it now because you were married before. So you're committing it. And when I was going to that church with my friend, we went to camp meeting, and that's all we heard about the great church, the great church, the great church, until I joined. Because I was starving for fellowship for a season of time. When I joined, they let me in behind the ranks to fellowship with the people. A family had just got saved that had four or five kids. And this was the topic of discussion. They had both been married before. And now the kids were of the present marriage. But since one or both had been married before, the elders were counseling that who was going to bear the good news to her that she had to leave the husband of now and remain unmarried or go back to the original first husband. And when I heard that, that was too much. That was too much. It was over for me. But my friend was a district superintendent. He was strong, born in the church, a preacher's kid. So he went this 30 days, because I got him all excited about fasting. I had Franklin's Hall on atomic fasting. I got him all excited on it, so he knocks off this 30-day fast. And then he's getting near the end of it. He looked like Joe Skeleton walking around. Every day I would ask him, what happened? Did you have a visitation? Did you have this? Did you have that? He said, no, I didn't have anything. But when the 30 days was up, boy, I can remember him breaking it. Everywhere he went, he carried this little thermos of soup. You know, he'd just take it out. Just looked like he wanted to make an altar right there and worship the soup, you know. And then he looked like he died and went to heaven. His eyes would get fogged over every time he'd take a drink. But when he broke the fast and recovered for maybe a week. He came in one day and he said, I had a dream last night. I had a dream. And the elders of my church and all of those, he said they had egg heads. They had little bitty bodies and great big egg heads. And he says the devil came along and just cracked their head. Well, when it got done with the dream, it was quite evident that God had set him free. I mean, he had stayed overseers coming after him because he stood up after that, resigned the church, and said, it is not the truth. Stayed overseers was coming after him saying, this is the church. And he withstood every one of them and walked out of it. Hallelujah. Never seen anybody walking on that level get as free as this man got during that time. Well, what in God's green earth does fasting do? Well, you know, going without eating, what does it do? It executes a positional truth that your body's been declared. Now, I want to break this verse down for you just a little bit here. How many has it in your heart to indulge yourself with fasting the first quarter of this year? If I was out there, I'd raise my hand too. You think I'm going to say, how many does not? This is a really, really unusual verse here in 10. Took me years to understand it. And even after I understood it, I fluctuated back and forth. I'd believe it was one way for a while, and I'd believe it was another, and it ended up being the way that it was the first day by revelation. It entered into my spirit and exploded. And I checked it out. It ended up being that way. Gary was one of the few that caught me teaching right up to the lip of it and then not going over and saying it. He said, you taught right up to the lip and you didn't say it. I said, how did you know? He says, because I know. And he was right. But it ended up to be the way that I received it by revelation. Now, Jan Butler is a student of the Greek. He just loves it. He took courses in it. And what convinced him of the born-again trail is he went through Romans 6 and Romans 7 and Romans 8 and did an extensive study in the Greek. I mean, beyond things I even understood, that how this word used this way absolutely changed this to mean this, and it could only mean this. And he tied some of his teachers up. And anyway, he went through those three chapters and found out that every time the word Spirit appeared, and we labeled it as having a big S, meaning it was talking about the Spirit of God, or a little S, and it was talking about the born-again human spirit. Everywhere we labeled it through Romans 6, 7, and 8, and he went in extensively in the Greek. And he could not wait to talk to me on the phone. He says, I have been thoroughly convinced. He said, that you received this all by the Spirit. I said, yes, sir. Just praying in tongues, assimilating by going over it and over it and over it, and then having the mystery of it explode and teaching accordingly. He said, you got every single tense right. Then later, when I fluctuated on this 10th verse, Jan Butler called me up and he took me to the grindstone. He said, the way you received it first was right, and the way you're choking on it now is wrong. I said, you know, really way down inside, I knew that Jan T. Butler. But I also wanted my father to know that if I believed it was a certain way, I didn't care about the opposition. All I cared about was being taught by the Spirit of God. Whether it's coming through a person, whether it's coming by revelation, I don't care. I just want the truth. Well, finding out what it was set me so free that I could not stand myself. For instance, that verse, there's therefore now no condemnation. The first verse of Romans 8, no condemning sentence to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The word for Spirit there has a little s. It's not talking about walking after the Holy Spirit. It's walking after the new nature you've been made, which has freed you from sin. Well, you start going through Romans 6 and 7 and 8 and breaking all that down. Well, that's where the born-again trail was born. It's got something to say that'll set you so free. You can't stand yourself. You know it's up to you. You know how far you go with God, how free you are. It's up to you. Because when Jesus said it was finished, He delivered us everything that we needed to walk out of anything He said we're free from and into anything He said we could have. I'm so excited I can't stand myself. Go when I slipped in and looked down the trail, I said, no, no, we really can have this. We really just make our journey. We can really have it. How many knows? We're getting awfully close. I've never heard my mouth say the things it's been saying. For fasting plays very, very strong role in dealing with the flesh. And in this verse here, the 10th verse, that is talking in the flesh here about the positional truth your body has been made. Follow me close on this verse now. He says in Romans 10, Romans 8 and 10, and if Christ be in you, and to many of you this is a real familiar verse. And even after I taught it to you, it's when I had a little trouble. He said, if Christ be in you, and He's in me, present tense, He's in me. The body is dead because of sin. And I was fluctuating here whether he was talking about that spiritual man that had been put to death and then a new man came into existence in his place. When he said the body is dead because of sin, I was wondering if he was really talking like Romans 6 about my spirit. Or was he talking a positional truth that this body that I'm walking in and breathing with had been declared? And I come to convince myself almost he was talking about the positional truth that your spirit was declared when you were born again. It was dead. Dead because of the sin that had a hold of it. So the hold the sin had over it was destroyed because the man the sin was controlling died. And a new man came into existence in his place. So this is what I kind of thought it was talking about. But when Butler went into the extensive Greek, he said, straighten yourself out. It's talking about the positional truth. Your body has been declared the moment you were born again. And when I realized that all I had said about it concerning fasting was through. It set me freer than I've ever been. In fact, fasting is not the chore that it was at one time. Boy, my spirit is just churning. To shut my body down isn't as much to me as it was at one time. I'm actually excited about it. Nobody has an exciting time the first week or so, especially if you're on a little longer one, you know, not on and off, on and off. But in the first week or so, when you're going through the withdrawals of sugar and all those chemical addictions, and your emotions are going crazy just because of the addictions, fasting is no fun. I'm going to work. It's a drudgery anyway. Now, besides that, I can't even eat. How many's ever had that feeling come on you? Oh, you wake up in the morning and remember, oh my God, no, I'm fasting. Hallelujah. Is anybody following me? I have some good news for you. There's a place in Him that you might never want to quit. There's people I know that's went on serious fasting for 5 or 6 or, I don't know, I've seen them around here go 3 days on and 3 off or 2 on and 2 off for 5 and 6 and 7 months at a time. And if you ask them, is things happening? Oh, yeah. You know, things will begin to happen because you start having faith in areas that you didn't have it before. You can't understand the increase of the faith because you yourself, you can't understand hardly why God suddenly is beginning to do things that He wasn't doing before. Well, all of a sudden, God starts moving and you are willing to operate in areas concerning the flesh with people, with love and things like that you were never willing before. And God on the hand, He's willing to move for you like He's never moved before. And we get to thinking, my fasting moved God. It was the drop of every blood. That's what moved Him. The bolt that kissed Him. No greater price can be paid. It's already been paid in every drop of blood. This is what's moved Him. And fasting helps you find out by executing the death of the part of you that doesn't agree with that, nor does it receive it by its actions. Well, when that part of you gets driven down below the operation of your spirit, suddenly everything you can believe for that's loose in your spirit starts coming to pass. Of course we think we're moving God. You're not moving Him. This whole thing's by grace. You can't earn any of it. In fact, if God could drop the ministry that the Apostle Paul ended up with at his ascension when he went home, if God could drop that on you the next day after you were born again and you was able to operate in the fullness of it until the day you went home, He would drop it on you the next day. Because you didn't earn anything. All of this is by grace in the first place. So when I'm willing to begin to deal with some of those things that's sealing my life by fasting, because fasting executes the position the flesh has been declared, which is dead. What did He say? If Christ be in you, He's in me because I've been born again. He said the body is dead because of sin, but your spirit has entered into life, seated in heavenly places, new nature kind of life because of Christ. Well, the same way praying in tongues and worship and assimilating His Word enforces the position. My spirit's been declared by grace, which is sitting with Him in His glorified humanity and all authority at the right hand of the Father. He wants me to operate in that authority as He is. So are we in this world. He's talking about the fullness of His love. That's what he wants you to get.
Hallelujah.
As he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love casts out fear. As he is, that's how he wants you to walk. As you are, I am in this world. Hallelujah. I want to walk like that too. Glory be to God. Well, praying in tongues and worship and assimilation enforces the position your spirit's already been declared, which is righteous with a new nature, seated in heavenly places with Christ. But then again, since we haven't understood the position, our flesh has been declared because it's capable of sin. Then we haven't really understood what fasting does. So when I fast, it executes the position. My flesh has been declared the day I was born again, which is dead. So most of the time we'll have a ceiling on our life. Oh, ceiling of flesh. We bounce against it. Never break it. Decades turn into generation. Grandkids bouncing around the house. Same old ceiling. Same old, same old. Year after year. What would be the reasons, the teachings you're setting under? How far you decided to go with God? The same old ceiling, same old. And one day, starts understanding, praying in tongues, worship and assimilation, old spirit begins to climb. Sukadeshia. If all those lesser things of the flesh that it could handle during that climb, it handled. And you got hungrier and hungrier, and then you start running into the strongholds that planned on holding you from very much of what God has till the day you died. The big ones, you know. You're not going to fast without reaching for them.
Hallelujah.
The big ones. So, Sokurama Sora Karama Sora Kamea. Pow. Sora Barakalaba Sekiram Akia. Yeah! Little bit of victory. Oh! Sora Karasa. Oh! And all of a sudden you discover fasting. Masora Kurama Sora Ketcha. Fast, 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 fast. Sora Borabu. Pray, pray, pray. Fast. Sora Kalasara Kay. Sega. Yay! Glory be to God. Car you were believing for comes in. This happens. Anointing starts showing up in your life. Why? This is glorious. Hallelujah. My fasting moved God. No, it didn't. All you did was unsealing your spirit by rising up above its operation in your spirit when fasting enforced the positional truth it was declared, which is, yay, glorious old time. The flesh rises back up. Ah, no! King of the flesh again. Ha, 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 ha. Lost your temper. You did this, didn't you? And you thought you was free. Ha, 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 ha. So what happens? You say, well, I'm just going to keep on. And this time, I thought at the end of my first longer one, God should have done everything for me. All he did was exposed what was keeping me from ever entering in to the realms that I know that he's called me to operate in. But I didn't stop. But at the end of a longer one, if something horrendous gets exposed, you know, I found real effective that usually longer ones just expose things. Immediately after I recover, nourish my body back. Then, especially if I've uncovered something, I'll go on series. I think we're very close to a bunch of people going on series and staying on series until Tulsa is saved.
Hallelujah.
So my friend, and that's exactly the way the original Greek portrays it. When the body's dead, he's talking about the moment you were born again, your spirit was seated with him with a new nature. But the body that the first Adam gave to you was declared dead. As far as its ability positionally to reign over your spirit, it doesn't have the power anymore. But when it rises up and wants to, Strongholds from the past wear you down, wear you down. Fasting, my friend, will expose all that stuff, everything between you and Him. It'll call it, call you to accountability on it. Expose it. Start the process of putting it to death. If Christ be in you, body's dead because of sin. The Spirit's been seated with Him because of new nature, righteousness. So whenever I expose something, I like to go right back in series until I know that I'm operating above that thing that had control in my life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. He wanted me to enter in this way instead of, like I usually do, dangle the results of years of seeking God's grace showing up instantly. Different ministries you've seen and heard of that fasted, like Branham and A.A. Allen. I love to dangle their results in front of you like a carrot in front of a mule on a string, on a stick. Boy, you want it bad, but can't quite catch up with it. My practice in the past had been dangling a carrot, getting you all excited way out there with what can be, so you'd start fasting. But for some reason, He wanted me to come in for you people that are serious on this level and explain the inner workings, because you can get the rest off a day. Amen. Well, stand up and worship Him with me.